Welcome, everybody, to the Live from the Code Bar podcast, recorded from the code-themed bar of Fenwood Manor. My name is Robert. On today's evening show, I have some wonderful guests coming on. I am a big fan of their YouTube show and everything that they do, and I'm very, very excited to have them on the show tonight. So I want to welcome everybody to talk about their absolute new treasure hunt that they are launching, which is coming out in April. Welcome, everybody, Cal Lazars and K-Pro.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hello. Well, thank you.
Well, Cal, just in case people are listening, and I don't know why they wouldn't know who you guys are, but just in case there are people that are listening that don't know, why don't you take a moment to introduce yourselves and let people know why they should know who you are.
So we have a YouTube channel. It is called Cal Lazars. That is C-O-W-L-A-Z-A-R-S. We've been doing YouTube videos on treasure hunts for quite a while now. All different kinds of treasure hunts. We try and give updates. And of course, the Forest Fen hunt was the big one that we covered. What else, Christy?
Well, that's how I got my start in treasure hunting was Forest Fen. I met him. Actually, I met Mike in his den, and that is how we got introduced, and we are now married. But I've been boots on the ground for The Secret. Mike does every hunt, I think, known to man, whether it's just purchasing it to support other treasure hunt creators, or he says to me, yeah, he has a huge stack of books. And he loves the code stuff and the cipher stuff, and I love the imagination and the riddles. I do like anagrams. And so we have been doing hunting treasures, and I used to live on the East Coast, so I was able to get to The Secret and a few others, Utah hunts. And so we just caught the bug. And so we do a YouTube channel and we run a Discord, and Forrest actually had me start a forum, and there's still some people around for the mystery of it, but it has some other hunts that people discuss. So So now we've decided we've done some puzzles and some kind of full virtual hunts before, but this is our first one that, you know, we actually created a book. We're kind of going all in for it, so we're excited.
Awesome. So that's why I had you on the show this time. And the new treasure hunt is called The Invitation. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So The Invitation, basically, we kind of took all these different treasure hunts that we have talked about and been involved in and looked for, and we kind of took some good ideas, I think, from all of them, and we kind of put them together in our own treasure hunt. We call it a grand adventure. We've done grand adventures before, but they've always been through our YouTube channel. So this is the first time we've actually created a book that people can order and play. I like to call it a game instead of a treasure hunt. And I like to call it a game because as you read our book, you'll understand what you need to do in order to solve the location of where this item is that we hid. And then, of course, you win the prize. So I like to call it as a game, but it is a treasure hunt. And we think people have a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. And now, obviously, if people do follow you and your YouTube show, they know you guys are located in the Vegas area. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, and this is something that I'm sure a lot of people are going to ask. Obviously, is the proxy in Nevada, since that's where you guys are?
We were ready for this question, and let me answer that one. We have stated that the proxy is located in the 48 states, continental U.S. We believe we have made it very simple, and maybe the first aha that you will get. There's lots of puzzles and things in the book to solve. We believe the very first one you will solve will pretty much focus you on where in the U.S. you are going to be looking for the proxy. Is that fair? Did I say that okay, Mike? We rehearsed that one. We were ready for that one.
What do you think, Mike? So it's not one of those books where you work on it for 6 months and people are split. It could be in this state. It could be in that state. You'll know where it is. The general approximation of the where it is.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. So why don't you talk us through what sort of you're calling it a game. And I like that. A treasure hunt should be a game as much as it is a hunt. Especially when it comes to armchair treasure hunts with the books and everything involved, you've got to have a good story. It's something I've focused on before on a couple of different podcasts. There have been many different armchair treasure hunts where either the story was terrible, but the hunt was okay, or the hunt was terrible and the story, you know, it was a mixed match. there is not a lot, and there has been some, but there's not a lot that have got the both, you know, the good story and the good hunt to go with it. Why is yours different, and why is yours going to have that good balance of both hunt and game and book?
Oh, I have lots to say here. Okay, so the one thing that we found, or I found through this treasure hunt with Forrest Fenn, was so many people in the community come together. We're friends, my husband, of course, but two of the people in my wedding party were searchers that I met through all of our adventures. So the one thing that we did in the story, and I think you hit it perfectly, we wanted to have a fun story. I read the Beacon Star, I can't figure that thing out, but the story's so much fun. I get lost in the story because I can't figure out the puzzle part. So with the story, we decided to make it, we have an annual event, we've had seven of them now, we're coming up on our seventh, called the World Series of Fenn, where we bring searchers from all over the country. I don't think we've had anybody international yet. Oh, we've had a Canadian come. But it's usually 50 to 100 searchers that come together. We have events all weekend long. So this book actually follows at the end of, we call them Frost. It's an alternate reality of the treasure hunting community. And they come together because they receive this mystery invitation. And as they work through a competition, and we won't spoil the ending, but there's references in this treasure hunt community in the book that are remarkably similar to a lot of the people known in the community. I would say it was remarkable because I think we got almost to 50 of them and said, I can't believe we know 50 people that we can do some parodies to. All positive, all fun. But they have adventures, and they're solving puzzles, and they're being tempted, and we know enough about them to kind of have some fun with it. So it's that, I'll take that as the story piece. And I got so excited about it. I was the story piece. Mike was the puzzles, and he could talk about the puzzles. But by the end, we both started kind of melding into the other ones because we both have really strong opinions on what does this look like as a good hunt. And I think that was probably the best part. I'll talk about that after the puzzle part, because I think even though sometimes it was pretty tension filled, we both were passionate about a few points. Like mine was no advanced ciphers for me, because I couldn't solve it then. I wouldn't enjoy this hunt. I'm not going to enjoy it as an originator then. That's just one example. And Mike was pretty strong about some pieces that he's like, no, I think this is important, and I'll let him talk to those. But so that's the story. The story should be fun. If you will recognize, if you're in this community, you will recognize, I mean, so many searchers, so many hunts. We even, there's some parody on some of the hunts that are out there. So I had a blast with the story. So Mike, you go ahead on the puzzle. You're the puzzle lead. Any issues, it's Mike's fault.
So we designed the book, the treasure hunt aspect, the game aspect, for really from beginner to intermediate, and I wouldn't say you really need to be advanced. We wanted people to have fun with it. And one of the issues that we have had with treasure hunts is sometimes people hit a brick wall and they're just stuck. And a year will go by and nobody has solved anything. And it's not fun anymore. So we wanted a bunch of aha moments where you could actually figure things out on your own and kind of progress down a path, which we call the game. So it really, the question is, how long until it gets solved? Will it be solved in a week? Will it be solved in a month or a year? We really don't know. We really are looking for feedback from the community as they play our game. But we had a lot of fun designing it, and I think a lot of people will really enjoy it. And also, I want to add that, alluding to what K-Pro said, you don't have to recognize these inside jokes or these parodies in order to solve it. So if you were never a Forrest Fenn searcher and you've never watched one of our YouTube videos, you don't have to know those things in order to solve it. So we wanted to make it fair for everyone.
Very nice. Now, obviously, followed you guys for a while, and I have got some background knowledge of Forrest Fenn, and one day I will do a podcast about it. I just don't know if I want to dip my toes into that sort of everything right now. So maybe down the line when I get a little bit more comfortable, I might even have you guys come back on to talk about that again. But I did in some of the videos that you've created for launching and to get people interested, you have put like one of them has like a sample chapter with some of the story and images. I recognized certain people and certain themes It was very interesting, that beginning one. One of the big things I really enjoyed, obviously, is and because I'm a big Expedition Unknown, is you changed it to Expedition Found, and what did you call him again? You called him Gosh Jates.
Gosh Jates.
I love that. You know.
Yeah. So we've taken things that most of the treasure hunting community will recognize, and we've changed the names a little bit. So it really is an alternate reality or alternate universe, as we call it. And we think a lot of part of the fun of the book is that people will try and recognize what those things are and see what we took them on and based them off of.
Yeah, well, we have one character. His name is Silver Sam. He's known as a nice guy in the community, nice guy from North Dakota, and he's a silver artist. Well, we happen to have a searcher in the community named Copper Dan, who is known, I think, to everyone as Minnesota Nice, and he is a copper artist. So those are, and some of his mannerisms and things, because he's come to so many events, we know it. We know him because we've seen him on YouTube for years. So that was fun doing some, you know, parodies and fun, but you don't even need to know who he is. There's no hints or clues by knowing him or his life or, you know, really anything about anything in the story. Just, I think so many people that are in the community will get a kick out of it. We had somebody ask us, who is this person? And it actually happened to be her. And we just haven't given it enough yet. And she's like, well, it says they're kind of shy or this or that. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't want to give it away. But I'm like, yeah, that's kind of you. So I think people will have a really good time saying, who is this person? Especially, I think we have six main characters, but we have about 40 more that are maybe mentioned here and there with their one little part. And so I think that'll be fun for searchers just to have, you know, a good time with.
And get a laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, is that you've got to have, you know, the humor to it. As you've just mentioned as well, that having it is an alternate universe, alternate story where you are able to use some of the ideas, but like you said, you don't need to know about those to do this, but you have already a basis of where a story can go, because you've dealt with it. You've been there. You know these type of people. So it can very well, because again, a lot of people, when they do write some of these stories, that they sometimes write about things that maybe they don't know about the best, or maybe they do know, but again, it doesn't have anything to do with the hunt. And you mentioned it. I'm a big fan. I worked on it for a long, long time. Beacon Star. Loved the story. Love it. I think it's very well written. And I've seen things in there that I've been like, and I've never been to Denver, but I could probably take somebody on a tour of Denver by myself from having gone through so many street views trying to work on that hunt. I have walked through Google Street through Denver like multiple times, trying to find all the different locations, the different sundials, all of the stuff. I had a map once, not this one up here, but I had a map up I bought it just of Denver, and I had all of them, all the spots marked on there. But ultimately, I couldn't get anywhere. All the markings I had, they weren't taking me anywhere. And that's when I sort of fell off of that and moved on. I've still got all my notes, and I'll look at it every now and then. But I just, and like you said, I hit that brick wall, and I just didn't know where else to go. So you did answer already one of my big questions, was how long you think the hunt's going to last. But my big one has on this is that, like you said, not everybody is a big cipher person. I know that there are certain aspects of the community that are big on ciphers and codes, and there are those that just like to work on puzzles. Those are ones that like to work on images and ones that work on, you know, language. So it's good to have all aspects of all of that. Obviously, you got to have in your mind, at least, what sort of a time frame do you think? Do you give this to be something that will be solved? Again, maybe not years, but do you think it'll be solved weeks, months? I mean, if somebody wants to pick this up and get involved, because that's sometimes the big aspect of these type of treasure hunts, is that once it's solved, not many people are just going to put, or hopefully people will still pick up the book just to give it a read. But once it's solved, nobody's picking it up to try and resolve it, unless they want to try and work on the hunt themselves. Maybe even years later, that happens more and more now. So what do you think sort of your hunt is where in all of that is your hunt going to fit?
I would say it depends on the community. And what I mean by that is how much are people willing to share? Like, I do weekly Zooms for different treasure hunts. We've been working on Xavier Marks lately for the last couple of months. Every Wednesday we get together. But in people, some people share what they have found and some people kind of listen in and they don't share. So if you can get a group of people together, 20 or 30 people that read our book and really want to share what they found, I think it'll be solved a lot quicker than if certain people keep the information to themselves. All it takes is one person to discover something major. And if they share it, well, then everybody else is right up where they are. Now, it is a game. So there is a competition. So there is a strategy of not sharing things. But I think a lot of it will depend on how many people, what they share and who they share it to. You know, we have hintofriches.com. That's our forum. It's primarily for the Forrest Fenn hunt and those diehards that don't want to let it go. But we are going to set up a section of the forum for the invitation. So if people want to go there and post their ideas and post what they've found, I think it would be solved maybe a little bit quicker if people do that. My time frame, I think around 6 months. What do you think, April?
I was going to say, so ciphers are really, I think, a little bit easier to try to put a timeline to because we have so many advanced cipher people. We've done these virtual hunts, maybe, I don't know, at least 5 of them. One was solved in 5 months. One was solved in 1 day. Actually, I think he went 26 hours straight without sleeping. He's one of our brainiacs in the community, and he solved it in 1.5 days. And then we have everywhere in between. I like this because it's not as cipher-based or not cipher, but anything advanced ciphers. We joke around, K-Pro could solve it. So that means there's no advanced ciphers, nothing with keys or pigpen, whatever, or any of that stuff. That's not going to be in the hunt. So, but the one thing that I think we're going to do, hopefully well, but we're going to want feedback, is there's a really split community about once you put a hunt out, do you give additional hints and clues? So we are going to wait a little bit, probably at least 3-4 months. But if everybody is stalemated, and I worked on Xavier for a year, well, maybe 6 months, just day in, day out, and I'm stuck to the point in Beacon Star, I'm not going back to it because I've tried every which way unless something new comes out. So we have a long-term strategy as well, as once it gets to a few months down the road and people aren't making progress, we are going to give something. We don't know what that looks like yet, but something to break that up because we don't want this to go multiple years. We have something in store for like a follow-up full book. We have some ideas that we already want to start working on. So this is our first real test case, you know, kind of that full-blown piece. So I loved how you said there's the puzzle and the story. And I also think the third piece is long-term management. How do you make sure you're not giving secret hints? You're putting everything in one spot. You're giving clues and hints at the appropriate times that kind of break loose and keep momentum going, but you don't give it away and make it a foot race. We have done a lot of talk, Mike and I, about what does that look like. So hopefully we do it well. We know if we don't, we're going to hear from this great community, and then we'll always do better. But I think we have a good plan. So I would say, if I were to guess, between 6 and 12 months. I can't see it going more than that. I can't see it going under a few months. I think we've made it hard enough, and please, no brainiacs, take this as a challenge. I don't think it's going to be solved in a week or two. I think it's advanced, or I won't say complicated, advanced, whatever the right word is. There's enough pieces or parts to it that you're going to need to put a little bit of time in.
That's good. That's good. That's where things usually like to fit. Cause like you said, there's been a sort of a rush of some of these hunts that have been solved very quickly and have become foot races. And almost from the start, they were foot races. I know you guys were involved in the Great U.S. Treasure Hunt, and the original way it was done with the 4 chapters, and I know one was in Vegas, in fact, and then there was the second aspect where they were doing the day hunts. To tell you the truth, I really enjoyed the first way that he did everything with the 4 chapters. I thought that was pretty well written, and the way you solved everything was good. But when he started to do those day ones, I zoned out. Yeah. Because it became I actually know people that would reach out to other people in those cities, not to solve, but to just be boots on the ground, just to be ready to run to grab the proxy. And that that was more of a race than a treasure hunt. It was solved within a couple of hours, not even that sometimes, minutes sometimes. because they weren't really that hard either.
Well, the one hunt was right next to us, but within 2 miles of our house. And I know several other people came into Vegas for that hunt. And it was where you resided in that, because it takes an hour to get from one end to the other. It was a mile from our house. I put 7 kids in the car with bikes, and we got there second. It was less than 5 minutes, and it was, we were there by minute 7, and we were third. We had, there were people just, they knew, and you're exactly right. It was literally maybe 10 seconds of solving it, and then who can get there first? And I was running. They were on BMX bikes. They just didn't get to the final spot soon enough, and there was, within a half an hour, there was 20 people there. We all solved it in, you know, by an hour. So yeah, we're definitely not going that route at all. Intentionally or not, I don't see it as possible. But again, I don't want to tempt the fate of this community.
Yeah. Our game is not a race. It's a marathon. Let me put it that way. Yeah. You will figure things out from the book, and then we'll see how quickly you figure other things out. This should be a lot of fun for everybody.
So now, one of the big things that, especially with the past couple of episodes that I've been doing with George Ward, we've been focusing on what we've been calling treasure hunt scandals. And the first two episodes we did on that were on the world's greatest treasure hunt, the hunt for the Golden Eagle, where the Golden Eagle, the guy had a beautiful book, and there was a lot of interesting things in it, like even down to like invisible ink on one of the pages that could only show up with a black light. Really, really well done book. But as we talked about, it was one of those ones where he had to put a lot of clues out there for it to be solved. And in the end, I don't know if you've listened to the podcast yet, but in the end, he had the Golden Eagle stolen, and the whole thing was called off, and he didn't get his insurance payout. So it ended up being, you know, one of those things. The reason I'm bringing this up and to get to it is because one of the big things about a lot of these treasure hunt scandals is that there is this huge big prize. And again, Fenn is one of those ones that in there. Anytime that there's these mega prizes, it brings out the absolute crazy in everybody. Now, I know that your hunt is still a great prize. Okay, but it's not a Fenn-style prize. I'll mention it, but that new one that's coming out later in the year, the Jar one, I'm not real familiar with it too much, but yeah, that was being promoted as millions and millions.
Right.
That's going to bring out the crazies. But yours is a good prize. Why don't you tell people what they could win by winning this treasure hunt?
So we have a small treasure chest full of different items. We do have this yearly get together in Las Vegas, and we make a custom poker chip. So we've got every poker chip in there that we've created over the last couple of years. We've got some silver, and then by far the biggest prize, of course, is an actual gold coin from Forrest Fenn's treasure. So it is graded by NGC. It is graded. It is certified. It's coming from Forrest Fenn's treasure chest. And that will be the prize for our treasure hunt. And as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think ours is the first treasure hunt to actually have an item from Forrest Fenn's treasure. Because I know there are more coming that are going to have various items from his treasure chest. And for me, as a treasure hunter at heart, I just think it would be awesome to hold in your hand a gold coin that sat in Forrest Fenn's treasure chest for 10 years. You know, through the cold winters and through the hot summers, it just laid there waiting for somebody to find it. And we were able to buy some items from the auction from that treasure when they were auctioned off. And now we want to pay it forward in the small way that we can and provide this in a treasure hunt, you know, for other people.
Yeah. And Mike's idea was just to have the coin, but I'm like, that's not sexy enough. So we got the little treasure chest and we put silver coins in it, and there's some copper coins, there's Liberty this, and I don't know, we picked from coin collections that we had. There's a couple pieces of jewelry from both of our mothers who both have passed, and they're kind of a tribute to them, so there's a little piece of them in there. And so it's fun. I mean, there's some silver dollars and half dollars and Sacagawea, you know, a couple. So we actually have that in one of our teasers, and you can see all the items that are in there. So it's kind of fun just to make that, you know, we do want you to like open the box. But if you don't, we did have, and this was the benefit of doing some of our virtual hunts. We had a group come to us when we put this whole little menagerie together of a treasure chest. And they said, can we just get cash equivalent? Because we're going to have to take all the time to sell it. And we don't want to do that. So we are giving a cash option of $2,000 rather than taking all of this in case you need to break it up or in case you just want cash quick, we can do that. So we do have a cash option in case you don't want the, and some people are, I'll never talk about Forrest Fenn again because of the scandals. I don't want that coin. It's like, well, okay, then you want cash then. So we're open to either one because we'll use it for a future hunt. So that's kind of a, we're trying to kind of catch everybody in their, whatever scenario they're in. But it was interesting when the group, we understood the group was like, well, we don't want to pay all the fees to sell it. I don't even know how. That will take so long. What are your options? So that's why we've embedded that as one of our options early on.
Very nice. Now, I'm the kind of treasure hunter that if I got that chest, I don't care what its value is. I'm keeping it all. Keeping every single piece in that. I don't care if I have to, I'm not piecing it off to sell it. No, it's going where I want it to be in the bar, you know? So that to me is a great thing, is that you are giving that option of if maybe a team finds it as opposed to an individual, they'll take the cash equivalent. That way they don't have to divide up who gets this and who gets that. And, you know, it does give that option as well. But again, like you said, it's not one of these crazy, right, get rich. You're not going to, you know, quit your job and start looking for this full time sort of prize, that it's not going to draw the people in. There are still going to be the ones that love to do treasure hunts, and there always will be. And they're doing it more, I'm sure, probably just like me, for the love of solving something, number one. Number two, just to be that first person to get that prize. You were talking about the Forrest Fenn. It, just in my own experience, we solved a treasure hunt called the Bosal Treasure with me and Nick Spira and Adam and Lisa Finch. They were in the UK, we were here. And that had been in the ground for 10 years. And the author and me and Nick had been working on it for a long time. And then we brought in some other help. And we solved that thing. And we wrote to the guy. And we actually had one of our teammates go visit to the author. And the author's like, yep, you're absolutely right. They went to the actual spot. And it was just on this like open ground in the city of Preston in the UK, and basically said, yeah, it's right there, and dug down, and there it was, this cross, this Lorraine cross had been buried for 10 years in the ground. And sadly, he passed away not long after that was retrieved. The author passed away, but you know, we found that. And talking about prizing, it was just a cross, it wasn't worth anything. Nick has the cross, but all four of us had a jeweler, the same jeweler made all four of us had crosses made.
No. So we've
from the original one. So yeah, we've all got a cross that's hanging up mine's in my bar, and they're all hanging up because they're made from, not from the same original, but they're made basically from imprint and everything like that. So that one actually cost me money to win a treasure hunt. I've actually got three or four treasure hunts that are like that have actually ended up costing me because I've done them as part of a team, and we've all gotten one of them at the end where we've actually paid to have others made. So it's not always about the monetary value is what I'm getting at. It's about the enjoyment that you have when you're solving this, whether you're doing it by yourself or whether you're solving it as part of a team. So when is everything starting here? When can people be ready to grab their book or get their book and go looking for this proxy?
Okay, well, so we bring together this community to the World Series of Fenn on April 26th. I have a little bit of breaking news, which I'll tell you in a second. So we were going to ship out all of our pre-orders. So that's on a Friday is when our event starts. So we are taking pre-orders right now, and the pre-orders, everything that we'd received up till that Monday, we were going to ship out all pre-orders on the Monday. So then we would have them available for actual sale at World Series of Fenn on Friday, the 26th. We did just get word today, so you're going to get a little bit of breaking news, that our printer is working ahead of schedule. So we may be able to release it sooner because a lot of our guests have already said, I would love to get it a little early so then I can work on it because I'm traveling if it figured wherever it could be, could it, because some people are assuming that it's going to be in Vegas. So if it is, I want to have it there, or I'm East Coast, then I can head over to LA if I need to, that sort of thing. So we're working on that right now. So though we're saying it's definitely going to be launched by the week of World Series of FEN, which is April 26th, we may be launching it a little early, but literally that is breaking news. Happened today when we got the final proof and we approved it. And they said, we're going to be able to get it to you quicker than anticipated. We have some other parts we have to bring together to try to figure out what does that mean. We really want to think through it, but it looks like it'll definitely be in the next 5 weeks. So March, April, I would say probably beginning of April, if we do it early. If not, we're working on that now. So yeah, that's the long answer, I'm sorry to say.
And the other thought is, we figured when everybody does come out here for our little get together, they want to talk about the book. We want them to have already read it. And that way people can give us feedback. We, of course, will not respond and give away anything. But yeah, we wanted people to already have to able to digest it and work on the puzzles, and then they can share when they get out here.
Very nice. Very nice. So this all sounds absolutely amazing. I know I'm going to be putting in my pre-order this week, so I'll have it nice and ready as well. I know I've got some other people that are interested as well, so they'll be probably doing the same as I am. So why don't you take this time to now share where people can find how to get the book, mm-hmm. and also where to find you guys. You know, how can they follow you guys, and where you mentioned before the forums, you mentioned a couple other things. So just take this time right now to tell everybody where they can join in the conversation about the invitation.
So the biggest thing we have is our YouTube channel. We do go live at least once a week, and that is Cow Lasers on YouTube, COWLAZARS. We have a Discord channel called Kalazar's Grand Adventure for anybody that's into Discord. Once a week, we jump into the voice chat and everybody kind of talks things out about whatever the hot topic of the day is. We do have the forum, hintofriches.com. There will be a place on there so that people can post about the invitation when it comes out. And also, we have a Facebook group, which is also Kalazar's Grand Adventure. Of course, free to join. You can always email me, kalazars@gmail.com. I will give you the pre-order information. The book does cost $29.95. And then the way we decided to ship it is just to use a flat rate post office envelope to make it easy. So that flat rate is $9.85 for anywhere in the U.S. We have had a couple people from the U.K. reach out. Anybody is welcome to play the game. You do have to physically go and retrieve it, or have somebody retrieve it for you, of course. But anybody, so we've had people in Canada and the UK, just reach out to me at kylelasers@gmail.com and I'll work out the postage. Of course, you can order the book and I'll just let you know what the postage is. Did I miss one, K-Pro?
No, you hit everything. But I do have to say, a lot of people know how much content we do cover. We were going live up to 3 times a week when things were really hot and heavy in some of the treasure hunting stuff. There is a channel or a playlist that is only the invitation. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone to think that they have to listen to our, sometimes we've gone up to 12 hours of when we were doing marathon shows, but usually it's an hour show, but you don't have to listen to those. Anything that's pertinent, because this is one thing I think is really important, there needs to be one spot for everything. That's going to be on the YouTube, and it's under that playlist. So like this show, once it goes out, we will do a video that says, hey, everybody, this is pertinent information. So we will link it then to where, you know, anything that we give by way of, I don't want anyone to say, well, I didn't listen to that show or this show, and that little bit of a hint broke it loose. So that's the one spot for everything. But discussion, Discord, forums, Facebook, everywhere else is great. But our YouTube is where you'll find us, and we'll put everything in either the descriptions, but that playlist of invitation, one-stop shop for everything.
The official place. Okay, that's awesome. That, because, yes, I've you're not going to stop people talking in all the different right. their own Discords or their own forums, mysterious writings, you know, everything in between. But having that one spot where you're giving all your information out is vital, because I've seen some treasure hunts out there that have just dropped way too much information, sometimes way too quickly, and it's just ruined it. I think I was following you guys actually during, and I mentioned it during one of my, I think it was the first one of the scandals, we were talking about the Tumble Bear Load. And I was following you guys about this, and just how quickly that went from looking like a great hunt to going bottoms up, you know, in a matter of what, a week or so, if that, just from not being, I mean, not maybe just not just on his end, but just what happened with the whole idea. And I probably am going to do a podcast on that later on in the scandal section, just because it wasn't a scandal, but just with what happened to it. So having that one stop place where somebody can get all your hints, all your information, instead of having to necessarily say, well, I didn't go on Mysterious Writing, so how did I not get that? Or I didn't go on this, I didn't get that. It's your book, it's your story, it's your hunt, it's on your channel. That's where all your news is going to be. So no, and everything is going to be listed in my show notes as well for when the show does come out as well. I do want to end by asking a couple of quick questions. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I love having treasure hunters on. So I'm trying something new out here. So other than Fen, because I'm going to leave that one well off the side here, starting with you, Calzars, what is, would you say, your favorite either current or past treasure hunt?
Well, for me, I'm partial to Vegas Dive, because in 2008, when I first moved here to Las Vegas, that is the treasure hunt that really got me into the community and made me realize, hey, these treasure hunts are out there and they're real. While I didn't find it, I was told by the author I was the closest to it, but that hunt had an end date. So it did end before anybody found it. And from there, I went into the Forrest Fenn hunt. So I'm always partial to Vegas Die. I probably put the most time to do Xavier Marks and the Beacon Star. We've hit a brick wall, pardon the pun, if you know the Beacon Star. It's been difficult. And now we've refocused our energy to creating our own. But I would say Vegas Die is probably the one I'm partial to. And actually, that's been revamped. It's actually a current hunt out here in Vegas now.
So I was just going to ask, because I remember the first one, wasn't it something about a book in a library? But I remember now that there is a second one, and so I do have that book. So that is something that, okay, that's I might pick that back up and get it soon.
Right. It's the author says he's going to revamp the website, which is questmystery.com, by the way. It says coming soon if you go to it now, but he's got a whole plan to roll out really a treasure hunting portion of his website. So that should be a lot of fun, questmystery.com. And that hunt is going on now. He says it is findable. Everything's still in place. So once he revamps that website, I'd like to look into it as well, just to see.
Well, it's a pretty good story too, actually. Even if you didn't even know there was a treasure hunt going on to do with it, it was a great story. So, you know, even if you don't want to go looking for the treasure hunt, it's a great book to read, a great little quick read. What about you, K-Pro? What would you say would be your favorite?
So, of course, I have to say Forrest Fenn, because that is where I met so many friends and went out boots on the ground. And that's what I got hooked with, is getting out there and saying, oh, I could find this. And of course, I've worked on Xavier, but I'm going to throw out, and this is going to be crazy because I'm not a secret person. I got contacted by, you probably know them, but I don't know if they want to say, they teamed up with me when I was in North Carolina, and they asked me to go boots on the ground for The Secret. And I will say there was a lot of excitement to it, but when we figured out the legalities of trying to retrieve it,
especially in the Roanoke area, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that became, then you see cameras and you go, oh, and you're tempted and all of that. So I'll say that's my most fun boots on the ground lately, even though I'm not, I was into The Secret for a little bit, but then when I figured out between the legalities and the prize purse to be able to travel, it didn't work out. But I also got to give the shout out to Tumble Bear Load. I know Mike talked to him after it all happened and why he pulled it and all of that. And so that was the most excited I've gotten post Forrest Fenn, that he was doing it so pure. And then, but yes, it quickly disappeared. So those are a few. I'd say Xavier is the one I'm working on the most, but Stalemated. So really what I've been working on is The Invitation with Mike. So, but those are kind of some of my past favorites.
I've worked on The Secret a little bit myself, and actually from my podcast and my work with Adam Cockerman, Arias Gray, the Arias Gray website, I don't get a lot, but I get maybe once a week, twice a week, I get emails and Facebook messages of people saying, hey, can you go look in this place for me? You know, it's, and you probably even get them yourselves, I'm sure, but it's one of those things, like, if you really know where it is and you think it's there, go get it. You know, why does somebody else have to do that for you? You know, go get it. The other one I get a lot of is, especially because I was lucky enough to be on Expedition Unknown, the one time that I was on there, is that I do get a lot of people reach out and ask me if I can get in contact with Josh Gates Well, number one, I was on Expedition Unknown when I was in the UK, and we weren't even on for The Secret. I don't have his contact information. Right. I came on to do a show with him, and I did filming with him for one full day, and then we did some reshoots and drone shots for another half a day. And yep, I got my picture taken. I got to talk with him. We had lunch. We, you know, he's a great guy, but he didn't give me his number. Yeah. So I don't have a way of getting in contact with Josh Gates yet. People still reach out. Now, when we were there, and I've said this many, many times, when we were there, and there was other people there that were with me that were Secret fans, and they flat out asked him, hey, are you going to do another Secret? You know, is there another episode coming out? And he adamantly said, no, it's done. I finished it. We found one. We had that whole ceremony at the end. That was our funeral ceremony, in effect. It was done. We finished with that. We won't be coming back. Even if somebody finds all, you know, nine of the other ones, you know, great for them. They, you know, we'll get them to where they need to be to claim it or whatever, but we're not going to film another one. It's just not worth it for us. And so, again, The Secret is just one of those ones where there's just so many different personalities involved. So I can definitely understand what you were talking about with that. But we went off topic a little bit there. I do want to thank you both for coming on the show tonight. I don't know if I missed anything. Did I miss anything that you wanted to mention at all?
I just want to add one thing because I think it's important. Our treasure hunt does not have an end date. It will go until there's a winner. Okay, whether that takes 1 month or 10 years, there's a winner. And when there is a winner, we will put out the full solution for everybody. There's a treasure hunt not recently, but I remember where somebody solved it. That guy went over how he found it, and the author was like, nobody discovered this one thing I had in the book, so I'm going to save that for the next book. And he never told us what it was. And to me, that's not the way to go about it. We will put out a full solution. Every clue, hint, and puzzle, we will give a full solution for.
So I agree with what you were saying there, Kalzaz. It's definitely tough when you have the end dates, and especially, don't know if you guys did Fandango at all, but when that one ended, and then when he gave us the solution was so weak. Mm-hmm. It was like, how did that relate? You know, it just didn't work. So, yeah, I agree with you. Having no end date is awesome. It just gives people a chance to work on it as much as they can. And then being, like we've already said, being completely upfront the whole time, even down to the end of the solve, because people do want to know. And again, we're going to bring up Fenn, but they want to know that if they've been working on this,
right?
They want to know how close they were. You mentioned Vegas Die, that you were probably the closest to the original one, but you know, if he didn't tell you that, and he just kept that, you know, maybe for this next version or whatever, you know, you would have forever just been thinking, where was I? You know, how close really was I? But having that full solution at the end, knowing that, okay, I was way off. You know, I wasn't even in the same state. You've got yourself that closure that you need once it's solved.
Well, I had one other thing I wanted to say, which is, of course, even though it's not a huge hunt, we want to say you don't have to dig. You don't have to break any law. You don't have to be unsafe. You don't have to be in water. Go where a 90-year-old would go. I mean, it's really kind of a self, like, don't do anything stupid kind of thing. But I do want to say it. It's kind of one of the rules in the book. And I will say, we do have a way also to verify that the proxy item's still out there. We won't say how, but if you do think that, oh, I found it and I know exactly where it was and it was missing, we won't respond to you, but we will periodically go and have our way of checking on it. And then we will say to everyone, we have a way to verify it, and we will let everyone know. And then lastly, there is a Forrest Fenn coin involved. So there is some of the crazy factor. So we have been asked, if I find it, can I stay anonymous? You can, but we will announce when it is complete. So if you've announced you're going boots on the ground the day before it gets announced, and then we know Jack came out without it, we will not disclose it. But that doesn't mean if you're putting your stuff out there, what happens? But so those are a couple of the other little things I wanted to say about the invitation.
Excellent. Good to know. Well, again, thank you for coming on the show. I really, really enjoyed our show tonight. I'd love to have you guys come back. Maybe even when it's been solved, or even later on, just to talk about how it's going and see, you know, maybe we can talk about what people might need to work on or what they are enjoying or anything like that. So I would love to have you guys back on. So thank you very much for coming on.
sure.
If you are interested in getting the book, obviously reach out. I am going to have all the information in my show notes. All right. So again, thank you for joining me tonight, Calazars and K-Pro.
Thank you for having us on. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Excellent.
All right, Diggers. Finally, we've come to the end again. For everything that didn't make it into the show, check out the show notes. They'll be there when this show releases. Also, if you are thinking possibly become a subscriber, we are now up to 3 subscribers, which means that at this point, my podcast platform is fully paid for. So thank you very much to all of the supporters of the show. And I will also have a link in there if you're interested in becoming a sponsor and a member yourself. Also, please do take a moment to like and review the podcast anywhere where you do download it, especially the big one, Apple Podcasts. And a big thank you to everybody that is listening. We really appreciate it and love you all. And till next time, keep digging.